The Iowa State Patrol is reporting two people were injured during a crash near Schuler Manufacturing Friday evening west of Cumberland. Authorities say 44-year-old Christopher Robert Tedford of Cumberland and 43-year-old Jason Vaughn Reber of Griswold were injured in the crash that happened around 5:50 near 63724 Highway 92 or Richland Road. Both men were transported to Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Tedford was not wearing his seatbelt and was later flown from Cass County Memorial Hospital by LifeNet helicopter to Creighton University Hospitals in Omaha. Initial accident investigation determined a 1996 Ford F-150 pickup truck driven by Reber was traveling east on Highway 92 and slowed and turned into Schuler Manufacturing. Tedford, who was traveling behind Reber in a 1997 Ford F-150 pickup truck, failed to slow down and rear-ended the other pickup truck. Following the collision, Tedford's pickup left the roadway, crashed through a fence before coming to rest in a soybean field. Officials say in 2003, Nissan Altima, driven by 29-year-old Rachel Powell of Glenwood, was traveling west on the highway. Debris from the initial crash struck her car, causing damage to the vehicle. Powell was not injured during the incident. The accident remains under investigation. Authorities in Council Bluffs on Friday say they are investigating the discovery of a body at a golf course. Police say they were called to the Council Bluffs Country Club near the intersection of Wright Road and Comanche after a person at the golf course reported seeing a body in a pond. Officials say the body was about 75 feet from shore and was retrieved by personnel with the Council Bluffs Fire Department. The Iowa DCI was notified and began investigation into the matter. Authorities say the body was in a decomposed state and no positive identification could be made at the time of the initial investigation. The subject was believed to be a man 30 to 40 years of age. No immediate indications of foul play. An autopsy was set to take place on Sunday to try to determine the cause of death. The investigation is continuing. There is probable cause that a Southwest Iowa school district violated the state's open meetings law when it met privately to discuss the firing of a principal, according to the state investigation. The Iowa Public Information Board said a five-member board of the Red Oak Community School District failed to properly vote to close an April 10th meeting and broke the law on April 14th when it failed to appropriately apprise the public of an agenda item. Each board member could face fines up to $2,500 per violation, Des Moines Register reported. So the Iowa Public Information Board will be making a decision on the issue when it meets on September 18th. School board voted earlier this year to consider terminating Red Oak High School principal Jed Sherman's contract. Sherman said at the time the board was trying to fire him in retaliation of reporting two cases of student bullying, among other things. The school district later agreed to pay Sherman $100,000 in exchange for him resigning. State's open meetings law says a governmental body can hold professional companies to discussions in private if the affected employee requests it. Sherman said that he wanted the discussions open. Greg Barnston, who is the attorney representing Red Oak, said audio of the April 10th meeting will resolve some of the issues brought up by the information board. He added that he does not expect the board members to be fined since they were acting on the advice of another attorney. A woman from Lewis suffered possible unknown injuries during an accident on Wednesday morning on Highway 6 in Cass County. The Iowa State Highway Patrol on Friday indicated 67-year-old Linda Lou South of Lewis was traveling north on Highway 6 at around 8:45 in the morning when she saw a Cass County gravel truck slowing ahead due to engine trouble. She stopped behind the truck and turned her flashers on to warn traffic behind her. 2006 Pontiac Grand Am driven by 37-year-old Greg Lance of Atlantic was also traveling north. He saw the stalled dump truck and South's vehicle with its flashers on but was unable to stop before hitting the South car in the rear. Lance was cited for failure to maintain control and violation of financial liability. Accident related. Damage from the crash amounted to $13,000. Police in Council Bluffs are investigating a reported home invasion. Bluffs Police Sergeant Chad Myers said that officers were called just before 10 a.m. Friday at 1714 6th Avenue for a report of a shot being fired. Officers arrived on the scene and came in contact with the victim, Kyle Medeiros. According to Madera, someone knocked on his front door. When he opened the door, a black male and a Hispanic male forced their way into his home. Both suspects were described as being in their 20s, average height and weight. The black male was wearing an all-black clothing, while the Hispanic male was described as wearing a blue ball cap. Black male was armed with a handgun, and they ordered him to sit down. Medeiros did not comply and ran to the back of the home. As he was exiting the rear door of the house, the black male fired a single shot in his direction. Medeiros was not struck by the round, was able to escape. Two suspects then exited the same door and ran to a full-size white pickup truck that was parked on 6th Avenue. White pickup truck then fled north on 18th Street. As the Council Bluffs police are still investigating the incident and are asking anyone with information to please contact them at 328-STOP. The Atlantic Student Council has reduced the entry fee for the October 11th Color of the Town 5K Run Walk, otherwise known as the Color Run, due to confusion having to deal with the registration website, issues which have since been resolved. Council thought it would be fair to reduce the entry fee from $30 to $25. Registration will end on September 14th, and to register for the event, you'll go to schoolathon.org. Click on the login register link, the top right corner of the page. First option offered, register as a new participant, and enter the group ID line 110006. Group AHS Student Council should appear. More detailed instructions can be found on the same story under the news tab at kjan.com. If you'd like to pay locally by cash or check, contact either Pat Wiederman or Steph Friend, 712-249-4251, 712-254-2574, or you may contact Jen Hohenberger at 712-249-5404. For generations of Democrats, a popular first job in politics has been with Iowa Senator Tom Harkin, whose campaigns have served as a kind of training school for a generation of up-and-comers, a place where you got lessons on how to charm a voter, a place where to have a bumper sticker, or even how to stand up for issues you believe in. As Harkin gets ready to retire after four decades in Congress, his current and former aides have gathered in Iowa to commemorate their time on his political team. More than 200 are expected to attend the informal reunion in Des Moines on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they'll hit the Harkin Final Steak Fry fundraiser. Many said working with Harkin prepared them for jobs in Washington, D.C. and on campaigns around the country. Notable Harkin alumni include David Loof, as well as Larry Grisolano, Jeff Link, both veterans of 2008 and 2012 Obama campaigns. Teresa Villman, who has worked for Harkin in his 1984 Senate campaign, has held a long list of political jobs, including serving as Iowa State Director for Hillary Rodham Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign. More than 20,000 claims have been filed by parents seeking part of the $1.9 million in a class action lawsuit settlement over the food bidding at hundreds of Iowa schools, according to attorneys handling the case. Claims filed since the settlement was announced on September 2nd cover more than 47,000 students. Attorney for parents who sued Martin Brothers Distributing Company, the Iowa Educators Corporation, and the Iowa Association of Educational Purchasing. Elizabeth Fegan called the surge in numbers within a two-week period exciting. The Cedar Falls-based Martin Brothers is accused of conspiring with IEC and IAEP for years to monopolize the business for selling food to schools across Iowa. The lawsuit filed in 2011 was the result of students being overcharged because they were not healthy competition in the market to keep prices down. Electronic store chain that was once popular in Iowa may soon vanish or become more scarce. Officials at Radio Shack are talking with lenders, bondholders, shareholders, and landlords as they work to fix the balance sheet. The company may need to file a Chapter 11 bankruptcy reorganization, depending on the outcome of those talks. Radio Shack has more than 30 stores in Iowa. If the company cannot get back into black ink, it will likely file what's called prepackaged bankruptcy. The company has been cutting costs, closing stores, and shuffling management, still reported another quarterly loss on Thursday. Funeral notices for today on this Saturday. Louise Miller, 94, of Guthrie Center, died September 5th at New Homestead. Services for Louise Miller will be held 10:30 today at the Presbyterian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Burial will be at the Morrisburg Cemetery in Stuart. June Anderson, 58, of Waverly and formerly of Atlantic, died July 21st in Waverly. Gathering of family and friends and potluck dinner in memory of June Anderson will be 2 o'clock today at the Cumberland Fire Department. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Betty L. Gandy, 87, of Panora, died Tuesday at the Rowley Memorial Masonic Home in Perry. Funeral services for Betty Gandy will be 2 o'clock today at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Friends may call at the funeral home 1 hour prior to services. Jane M. Green, 67, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Shelby, died Tuesday. Memorial services for Jane Green will be 2 o'clock today at the Shelby United Methodist Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Annette Perkins, 95, of Audubon, died Wednesday at her home in Audubon. Funeral services for Annette Perkins will be held 2 o'clock today at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church west of Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. Kenneth D. Schaefer, 79, of Erling, died Thursday in Harlan. Mass of the Christian burial for Kenneth D. Schaefer will be Monday at 10:30 at the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Donald Grant Johansson, 86, of Avoca, died Thursday at Select Specialty Hospital. Funeral services for Donald Johansson will be held 11 o'clock Monday at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has the arrangements. Harold Sand, 89, of rural Audubon, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Harold Sand will be 11 o'clock Monday at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church west of Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Elsie Bernice Sheeter, 93, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Elsie Sheeter will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Guthrie Center Christian Church. Twig Funeral Home of Panora has the arrangements. Christian Silva, 15, of Creston, died Thursday during an accident in Adams County. Funeral services for Christian Silva will be 10:30 Wednesday at the First Baptist Church in Creston. Powers Funeral Home in Creston has the arrangements. Phyllis Jones of Atlantic passed away Friday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Services for Phyllis Jones are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. KJA News Time is 8:11.